Good morning, family. So, I want everybody to kind of just look around. We see everybody that's here and those that are not. We were having prayer time up here about, well, it was actually just after we were starting to finish up with worship, and Lil came up, our little Lil, I don't know if she'll be here today, but she came up and she saw that I was having a rough morning and I was hardly able to get out of my chair and walk, and so she came up and she began to pray for me. And I should have said something then because, baby, what's that scripture in Revelation about the word of their testimony? They overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. And so I should have come up then and said, I felt the strength coming back into my body as she was praying for me. And I didn't say that, and I should have said that, and, you know, that's shame on me. However, doesn't matter how many people are here, it could be one, and God would still move. And so this morning, as we're beginning to enter into worship, and we're looking around or not looking around, wondering or not wondering about who's going to be here, who's not, it doesn't matter, you're here. And he's in you. So let's remember that as we begin to worship. Let's truly worship from a heart that I walked in this morning with the Lord in me. I have all that I need, and I can worship from that true place. So, Father, this morning we lift your name on high. We say, Lord, you are good. You're so good. And, Father, we give this time to you. We pray that as you begin to move within your people, as you begin to move in your sons and your daughters, that each one would recognize the power that they have in them is the same power that raised Christ from the dead. When the earth shook and the sun stopped shining, that same power dwells in each one of us. So, Father, let them recognize that as they're lifting their love and their worship and petitions and honor to you, be glorified in our worship and in our praise, Lord. We give this time to you. We honor you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Walk into the room, everything changes. Darkness starts to tremble at the light that you bring. And when you walk into the room, every heart starts burning. Nothing matters more than just to sit here at your feet.
You bring when you walk into the room. Still good.
good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. Your good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. And I've heard a thousand stories of what think you're like, but I've heard the tender whisper of dead of night, and tell me
You're the reason we worship. You're the reason we sing. You are. You're the reason we're here. You're the reason we worship. You're the reason we sing. You are. You're the reason we're here. You're the reason we worship. You're the reason we sing. You are. You're the reason we're here. You're the reason we worship. You're the reason we sing. You are. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways to us. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways to us. That's what it means to sing a new song, y'all. That's like just letting your heart loose. That's letting your spirit loose and just singing something to Him. And it says that we'll sing new songs. So however that looks for you, you may not be able to have a bucket that you carry a tune, but it does not matter to Him. It's all beautiful worship to Him. He has the best ears. He can make out what you're trying to say, what you're trying to sing, what you mean. He is good. He is so, so good. And He's perfect in all of His ways. He is perfect in all of His ways. He's perfect in all of His ways to us. To us. His kids. The ones He adores. The ones He loves so much. The ones He has a plan for. He's the reason we're here. He's the reason we worship. He's the reason we sing. He is the reason. Amen? Amen. Okay, let's greet one another. I hope you guys were done. Huh? No? Did you have another song? Oh, good. Okay, well, greet one another with a holy love, and we'll meet back together and do our declarations. Amen?
Well, good morning, family. When Pastor Gay was coming up and emphasizing her song and then refocusing on that He's perfect in all of His ways, I was just thinking about, there's no shadow of turning in Him. There's no darkness, that he's all good. He's a good, good Father, and that no matter what our lives look like, no matter what the situation is that's going on, know that God's heart is all good for us. That should give us hope, especially when we're going through difficult times. So we're going to go over right now the house, heart of the house declaration. If you would stand with me, nice and loud. On three, one, two, three. I declare that God is building our church. God is calling us to the basic gospel, and He is awakening our church, that we will live a vulnerable life for the Lord, that God is working in our waiting, that our hearts are prepared to move where His heart moves, that we will cultivate a right heart and right mind, and we declare that we are reaching Yakima one life at a time. Yes, Lord, we just ask You to put that heart in us, Lord, to reach our neighbors, to reach our coworkers, Lord, to reach our schoolmates, Lord, reach our family, Father. Help us, Lord, to align, Lord, with your will in our lives, Lord, for those that you want us to be a work in, Lord, that you want us to touch, Lord, with the light of the glorious gospel. We declare, Lord, that we need your help as we were singing earlier, Lord. We need you. Lord, we can't do this mission on our own. We can't do it, Lord, out of good thoughts and just good intentions. Lord, we need the Spirit of the living God, Lord, to fortify and secure us, Lord, in you first. And then us carry that same message, Lord, to a lost and dying world, to Yakima, Lord, that needs your message of hope, the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ. Lord, just allow us, Lord, to be everything you've called us to be as a church. Lord, we pray for every church in this city, Lord, you'd allow them to be what you've called them to be. Lord, that even their preconceived ideas of who they are, Lord, if it's not aligned with who you designed them to be, Lord, let them come into alignment. Lord, let your Spirit flow through the churches of Yakima in such a way that you transform us and you renew us, Lord, into, Lord, conforming to the image of Christ. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. And now a few announcements.
Thank you.
Yep. Switch room. Don't trip.
Big feet.
Sorry, Jesse. That was pastor's fault. Okay. So I'm gonna do just the offering real quick. So you guys all know how to give. We can give online. We can give in these boxes here. And the thought that came to mind today when I was just thinking about this is the scripture in 2 Corinthians where it talks about being a cheerful giver. And, you know, that's not always easy to do. It's not always the when churches start talking about money, everybody, some people get really like, oh, they want my money. It's like, no, we don't want your money. But God does. God wants your money. And, you know, I heard a pastor say once that, you know, how much, like, because in Old Testament it talks about giving your first 10%, right? And so that's kind of the standard, right? But it comes down to, he's like, God doesn't want your 10%. He wants 100%. So it's about, like, being, like, getting our funds in the same heart with the Lord and realizing where he wants it to be placed. And so I'm just going to read this real quick. It's 2 Corinthians 9, verse 6. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to bless you abundantly so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. Cheerful giver. So, in short, our 2 Corinthians verse 9, or 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6. Thank you, Pastor. So it's all about our heart, posture when we're giving. And I would just say this, if our heart is ever in a place where we're giving, it's like, oh, here comes a tithe again. Don't give that week. Just don't give. Because God wants a cheerful giver. Like, we need to bless what we're giving to the house. God, I thank you for what this is going to do. I thank you for this $10 that I'm giving, this $100, whatever you're giving. God, I thank you that you're gonna take this and you're gonna bless it for the house of God, for the will of God for this house. And so thank you guys for blessing this house. Let's get into some announcements. So tonight we have our church game night, and we're really excited about this. So this is here at the church downstairs from 6 to 8, and we ask that everybody comes, invite your friends, post it on Facebook, do whatever you can to be here. Our youth are going to be here as well. And again, they don't know about this. So they're going to show up and you guys are going to be there. And they're going to be like, oh, wow, who are all these old people? Not that you guys are old, but you guys are older than them. And so, so yeah, it's going to be really fun. Please bring a snack to share. And we're just going to have a great time. You know, we're trying to do some more things where we're getting our community together outside of a Sunday morning. And so make it a priority. When you see these things come up, we try to get them in front of you as early as possible. You know, put it in your calendar and be a part of what God's doing here as we build community. Amen. So here downstairs in our fellowship hall, bring snacks, and I think we're providing drinks, right? Yeah, so if you want to bring, you know, chips or cookies or whatever you would like to share, please do. And then is this next Saturday? Next Saturday, on the 25th, is our work day. So we do these about once a year, sometimes twice a year, where we do projects around the church. And so from next Saturday, 9 to 2, we're going to come here and we're going to, you know, some of us will be cleaning, some of us will be fixing toilets, some of us will be, hauling junk away, doing work day stuff. Whatever your imagination goes, that's what we'll be doing. If you want to come and build a structure, go for it. Why not? But anyhow, so next Saturday, we would love everybody who can make it to be there. And even if you can come for an hour or two, that helps, because there are some projects around the church that can't get done just because we're limited in staff here. And so it's nice when people show up and have skill sets to do things that we can. So lunch will be provided. So we'll see you guys next week. And then, so Easter. Easter is, and I didn't put the date on there, but it's April 9th is Easter. So there's that. So our Easter service, before our Easter service, we will have a continental breakfast. So right over here in our overflow, we're going to have a light breakfast. And so, you know, come early, come hang out. Again, you know, Easter and Christmas are the two holidays where people who don't go to church or people who maybe haven't been to church in a while, like that's when they're going to come. And so this is an opportunity for if you have friends, you have family, you have coworkers that, you know, don't have a church, invite them. Have them come hang out with us. Have them come and enjoy the service. And you know, our heart is to be really intentional about what we're doing here, and not just it be. Yes, resurrection is not just for one Sunday a year. It is every day that we get to recognize the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Because it's not just that one day where we get to have kids find little Easter eggs and be like the Easter bunny and stuff. But no, we are going to focus in on what Jesus is doing that day. So. Easter Sunday, 10 a.m., we'll be over here. And then as well, just reminder, you know, the service, it's going to be a powerful time. So be praying for us. Is that all the announcements?
That's all.
Praise the Lord. All right, Mike and Gay.
Thank you.
Yes.
All right. Turn on my mic. That'd help. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Oops, babe. Spilled the coffee. She's going to go do a little cleanup on aisle two, so give her a second. So we are going to cover today the very last of Matthew 6:33. I know I said last week was the last message of Matthew 6:33, so I ask you to forgive me ahead of time just so you don't hold that against me. But this is really a kind of a vital capstone to the entire verse. And since she's busy right now, I'll go and read it. Matthew 6:31 through 33. Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. We talked about him being perfect in all of his ways and a good father. And he knows all of our needs. He knows everything that we need. He knows that we need them. But then it says in verse 33, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Now we know that this particular passage is talking about what you're going to eat, what you're going to wear, what you're going to drink, you know, where you're going to live, all of these things that seem to be the essentials of life to live, you know, to be able to feel like you're being taken care of. You know, I personally, and I'm very thankful, have never had to sleep outside. I've never had to sleep on the street. I've never had to, and you know, I've found people here under our porch, you know, sleeping in the middle of winter, you know, trying to stay warm. And I've never had to do that, and I'm very thankful. And, you know, except for the grace of God, I could have. You know, it's his grace in my life. It's because, you know, and some people say, well, it's because you have a relationship with him. Well, some of them may have a relationship with him. And because of the situations in life, they may be in a place. And someday I may be that. But right now, up to this point, I have not. But I'm telling you that even for those people who have to have a different place where they're living right now that doesn't seem to be home, he's a good father to them. And when we're going through the difficulties in life, he's a good father, and he knows what we need. It says that when we pray, he knows what we're going to pray about and ask for before we even do it. That's one of those scriptures I read. Well, then why do I pray? Yeah, you know, why do I need to pray? Well, it's because prayer is a communication to God, and we get into an agreement of what he wants to do. It's almost like a handshake. It's almost like our prayer comes up to God, and we say, Lord, I need this. I know you need this, and thank you for asking. And now we're in agreement, and I can move in that situation. So that's kind of my explanation of that verse. I haven't talked to Jesus directly to find out what he means by that. But if anybody does and it's different, please let me know. So I was thinking of these verses, because there's lots of verses about, you know, God meeting our needs. And I wanted to get verses that I thought were kind of communicating different thoughts, not just that, you know, our needs that are going to be just physical needs met. I wanted to communicate that God's got everything in our life that we need. He's not going to let us lack, as one of the scriptures says, any good thing. Sometimes we want things that aren't good things. Sometimes we want things in our life that if God allowed us to have them, they could destroy us. You know, case in point, you have a kid, you know, and you know, he saw that, you know, dad was out there, you know, shooting his bow and arrow or shooting his gun or at a target, and the kid was in there. Dad, can I hold that gun? Can I use that gun? No. I love you, but you're not ready for it. And so there's things that we could ask God for and want that would hurt us. And he answers no. Sometimes God's answer is no. And he's still a good father. And he's still perfect in all his ways. You have something?
Well, I always, anytime we talk along this subject, I'm always taken back to when we lost Aaron. And our prayer was that God would heal him. Mm-hmm. You know, he's our kid, and we wanted him whole, and we prayed for years and years and asked God to heal him, and it never happened. And then when he went to heaven, you know, we dealt with all of the ramifications of, you know, seeing your child put into the ground and dealing with all the things that came with that and the loss and the hurt that we carried. And it didn't seem like there was any good reason for that to happen. It didn't seem like there was any positive in any of that. But our experiences have helped other people that are going through the same thing. 1 year later, almost to the day, we were doing a funeral for a little boy that had passed away. He was only 7, I think.
Pretty young.
And because that family was, some of them were in the Lord, some of them were not, we had the inroad to be able to speak to them and speak truth to their hearts, that they could listen because we'd been there, done that. And so a lot of times we don't see the good that comes behind something that God may have said no to, or the prayer that we prayed didn't get answered, so we thought, or
right,
the way that we saw it happening and turning out didn't turn out that way. But God always has a purpose and a plan, even if we can't see it. But can we see it now? Yes. We see all of those sweet families we've got to minister to over the years since losing him. And he's been gone now 24 years. I mean, we have talked to so many families, I've lost count.
Right.
How many parents with children we've actually ministered to that have actually lost their babies too. So we may not see the good, but there is good because he is good.
Amen. And you know, and that doesn't even, you know, include, you know, all of the dynamics of him being fully healthy, whole now.
Right.
And with Jesus. And that's pretty good.
Yeah.
It's hard for us to relate to that at that time. But now looking back, we realize that he has a full life in God.
Right.
And he's ahead of us.
Yeah.
He's gained some ground on us. Yes. So Psalm 23, you know, most people know this psalm. Most people can quote it. You know, it's like a kind of a mainstay, even in the non-Christian realm. People are familiar with this, kind of like John 3:16. But I think this first verse really communicates the thought that we're trying to communicate here. It's a Psalm of David, and in the ESV says what?
Psalm of David, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want.
I shall not want. And so the idea here is I shan't want. I'm not going to want. And in this, it sounds, in from this particular translation, it sounds like, well, I'm not going to want. Even though I might want to want, I'm not going to want.
I might want to want.
But if we go to the message, it kind of communicates it a little bit different.
A David psalm, God, my shepherd, I don't need a thing.
I don't need a thing. So in other words, now the communication is coming from him. I don't need anything because I have everything I need. So that's even different than I shall not want, right? But then look at the English, the easy read version.
A song of David, the Lord is my shepherd, I will always have everything I need.
I really like this translation because it's kind of summarizing our heart that we should have as believers. Is that the Lord's my shepherd, the Lord's my savior, the Lord's my Lord, and I'm going to have everything that I ever need. And we'll see that in these scriptures, that as believers, everything that we need, let's put it again, need, not necessarily want, is we're going to have. The Lord will fulfill that. So let's go ahead and take a look at
And what our need is and what our want is sometimes isn't the same thing.
They don't line up. Yeah.
With what his need is and his want is for us.
Or his desire for us.
Right.
Exactly. We got to remember that God's main goal for us is not for us to, you know, be some spiritual giant or you know, have a beautiful house, you know, that a lot of people like to have, or, you know, have all of our bills paid. You know, that's not his main goal for us. His main goal for us is to be conformed to the image of his son.
Yeah.
To be like Jesus, to be formed into the character and nature of Christ. And sometimes he allows things in our lives that necessarily don't seem good, but are accomplishing that work, the number one work that he wants to do in us, and the number one work that when it's happening in us, we will be fulfilled. We won't lack any good thing. All right, let's look at this verse. This is a good verse.
Mark 10:29-30 says, Jesus said, truly I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or lands for my sake and for the gospel who will not receive 100-fold now in this time. Houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions and in the age to come eternal life.
That's a lot. But what Jesus is saying here is, listen, you can't out, you know, sacrifice yourself for me to the place where I'm not going to return the blessing back to you. Notice, for those who leave houses, brothers, sisters, mothers, fathers, children, lands, for the sake of the gospel. And keep in mind, he's speaking to the disciples, and some of them left for other countries and never returned, ended up dying, you know, as martyrs in those countries with persecutions. But look what God's promising them, what Jesus promises them. In this life, they're going to receive houses, brothers, sisters, mothers, children, and lands with persecutions. So what does that mean? Well, that means that there is going to be a, maybe not physical mother in their life or brother in their life, but a spiritual one. They're going to receive into their lives even, you know, It's hard for us to understand this because we're so physically oriented. We're so blood relative oriented sometimes that we don't see that the kingdom of God and the brothers and sisters that we have in Christ, are an extremely huge value in our life. We don't understand the idea of being part of the body of Christ. And so Jesus is promising them here that they're going to receive something back for seeking first the kingdom of God.
So
and
question,
his righteousness. Yes.
Is verse 29 talking about physical mother and then the verse 20 or 30 talking about spiritual?
Well, the thing is, a spiritual mother can seem like a physical mother.
That's what I'm asking. I'm asking, is this kind of speaking to our natural man and this speaking to our spiritual man?
Similar, yeah, you could say.
Okay.
But I've also seen that how a brother that is not a physical flesh brother in blood can be closer than a real brother.
Jesse.
Exactly. Let's look in another verse.
Romans 8:31 through
33.
This only goes to 32.
Then it's 32.
What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things?
He who did not spare his own son, and what does that mean? That means Jesus, sacrificial offering for mankind, was also God the Father giving up the Son. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he, what?
Gave.
So if he's given his Son to us, if he's given us his Son in not only that he's our sacrificial offering for our salvation, but he's also given us his Son in the way of the Holy Spirit to live and abide in us. Amen? The Spirit of Christ. If you ever want to look at, I did a message one time that talked about the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Christ, Messiah, and it kind of helped qualify a little bit this, all those different terms that the Spirit of Christ is Christ. When we receive the Holy Spirit, it's as if we're receiving Jesus himself. Jesus told the disciples, it's expedient that I go away because I'm going to send you another helper. And he, when the Spirit of truth comes, he's going to show you all things. He's going to reveal to you all the things that I said. I'm kind of merging some verses together. But we receive Jesus. Okay, so if he gave us Jesus, and how will he not also graciously, kindly, lovingly give us all things? In other words, he's going to give us everything that we need. Need. I keep emphasizing this. I don't want somebody to come up to me in 2 weeks and say, Pastor, I never received that, whatever. Fill in the blank. It's really what we need in our lives, our needs met. Sometimes those are spiritual needs. Sometimes they're emotional needs. Sometimes they're literally physical needs. But he's going to give us what we need.
And sometimes there are some things that are a powerful want that we mistake it for a need. Let me give you a for instance. We have a dear daughter that doesn't go to church. She's 30, going to be 39. We just had dinner with her last night, had a wonderful time. But we would love to see her with our grandbabies, five of them, and her fiance serving Jesus in the church. We would love that. But that's a want, you guys. That's not a need. I would want that she would have complete spiritual eyes to see and serve her babies in that way. But that's a want for me. And we can mistake that as being a need. Lord, I need you to draw her to yourself. I need you to get these grandbabies saved and in church. I want. That's that line. But do you really need it? And I can look around in almost every single one of us and say, I know in your lives there are some powerful wants. They're not selfish wants. They're wants that will make life better for someone we love. They're a want that we know will bring life and power to someone what we care about. But it is not a need. What we need to do is give it to Jesus.
Amen.
What we need to do is dedicate that one to him. And
That's
let
good.
Him do the work and help, and ask him to help us do what our part. And sometimes our part is not doing this, it's doing this for them. So we have to really almost sit down. If any of y'all ever sat down with a pad of paper and a pen and had a pro and a con list.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe we should sit down and do a want and a need list and really go through things that matter to us right now, that are deep for us right now, deep for us right now, and say, is this really a want or is this really a need? And ask God for his input on it, because some of those will transfer to the other. After praying, some of those will transfer over to the other side.
That's good. Amen. But he's going to graciously give us all things
that we need.
That we need.
That we need. Yes.
Exactly. All right, here's another verse. I love this verse.
2 Peter 1:3. For his divine power has bestowed upon us all things that are requisite and suited to life and godliness through the personal knowledge of him who called us by and to his own glory and excellence, virtue.
That's the Amplified. For his divine power has bestowed or given upon us, like it's been overflowing upon us, all things that are requisite and suited for life and godliness. Another translation says that he has given us, by his divine power, all things that pertain to life. What's life? That's our physical life. Everything that we know about life. And godliness. Everything that we need in God. He's bestowed those on us. We've received them. We already have them. In a way, I'm trying to put this. In a way, it's like inside of us is the potential for everything that we're ever going to need in life. Because he is in us. The fullness of him is in us. Mm-hmm. Which is hard for us to believe sometimes. Like, I don't act like I've got the fullness of God. Well, the first chapter of John talks about of his fullness we have all received. Mm-hmm. So we've received his fullness. We have everything that we need. It's in there. So we may not physically see it yet, but the seed of it's in us because Christ is in us. So he's given us everything. He's bestowed upon us. It's like I can hand Gay this card or hand any of you a card, and I could say, in this card is the amount of whatever, say income or financial amount that you need for the rest of your life. You just have to use this card. And it's, you know, some people would say, well, I wonder what it would buy, you know? And so maybe you're going to go out and you're going to pay for it like a Coke. Let's see if this thing works, you know what I mean? So you buy a Coke, you know, and so, you know, I bought a Coke, you know? And so, you know, you go out through your whole life and maybe you spend, you know, $150,000, you know, because every time you did the bigger purchase, like, oh man, I hope this works, you know? And the thing is like later on you run into me and say, how much did you spend? It's like, and this is years later, you know? Mm-hmm. Oh, I spent $150,000. What? It was unlimited. The amount I gave you was unlimited. Why'd you only use that much? So it's like we've got this value in us, just that's waiting to be, in a way, appropriated. Because when you go to the cashier and you're appropriating those funds, you're saying, I want those funds that are somewhere. I don't know where they are. This gift was given to me, and when I bought this car, I want to appropriate. Yep, sure enough, yeah, went through. You got your car, you know. But the thing is like it's about her confidence in this card I gave you. Mm-hmm. What confidence do we put in the promises of God? What confidence do we put in the scripture that his power has bestowed on us everything and requisite and suited for life and godliness? In other words, everything that we need has already been bestowed on us. It's so hard for our natural minds to pick up this radical spiritual truth. But if we can, we're going to do better as believers. We're going to increase in our faith. We're going to increase in our transformation into being more like Jesus if we can get things like this. But if we just say, oh, wow, that's too deep for me. I can't get that. Well, spend some time and meditate on the word. Meditate on these scriptures. Because there's lots of them that talk about he's got us covered. He's got us totally covered. Whatever we need, we're lacking nothing. Nothing as far as we need in God. Let's put it that way. Because it can look exterior to someone that maybe someone just captured all this, but maybe their life is very humble. They live in, you know, in a small place, or maybe they're staying with somebody. It doesn't look like they have any physical wealth. Yet they're fully appropriating what Christ has done for them. And so they're rich beyond measure. They're rich beyond measure. They can share love. They can share joy. They can share peace. They can share kindness and goodness. They're meek. They have the meekness of the Holy Spirit. They're very patient. They're long-suffering. And they exhibit extreme self-control. What am I? I just quoted the fruits of the Spirit. Extremely rich characteristics. Maybe aren't going to be on the Fortune 500, because they're you can't equate spiritual things with this monetary system. It's not going to happen. You can't give a value to the spiritual riches to the earthly riches. Amen. You have something? Nope.
Just thinking.
Just puzzling or pondering. Philippians, you guys probably heard this scripture before, 19 through 20.
And my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. To our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen.
Now, Paul is saying this to them because, listen, you Philippians have taken care of my needs. You've sent me help more than once. And he's letting them know, since because you've taken care of my needs, God's going to supply every need that you have. That's the context of it. But I would go on to say that Paul would be telling all believers that. God's going to take care of your needs. You know, some people say, well, if I'm not tithing, you know, like everybody else, and we heard about tithing, then maybe I'm not going to be as blessed as someone. Well, I mean, the thing is like, I don't look anymore like we're under this conditional thing with God like they were in the Old Testament. Because the Pharisees, they were thinking all these conditions, and Jesus kept saying, if you love me, you're just going to keep my commandments. Mm-hmm. And it just didn't sound like there was strings attached to everything as there was in the Old Testament. Read the Old Testament. It sounds like there's strings attached to everything that they had to do. I mean, they had to not go out and do anything on the Sabbath day. Someone was caught picking up sticks on the Sabbath day in the Old Testament. This is in Numbers. Caught him picking up sticks. You know, he had to gather probably some firewood maybe or something. You know what they did? They went out and they stoned him. Mm. Yeah. That was the Old Testament. That's why those Pharisees, when Jesus, just talked about love and the Father being, kind and good and taking care of everything. It's like, that's not the God that we see. Well, we have a new covenant in Christ's blood, which the judgment and the pressure that mankind faced all the time from God, partly just because we were living in ignorance and doing our own thing, has been removed. And now we've been restored back to a place of Christ's love. So he'll meet all of our needs according to his riches and glory. He'll meet all of your needs according to his riches and glory. Whether you tithe or not, what do you think?
Well, I agree with that. I agree with that statement. But I'm filtering all of this through what's recently happened in the United States.
Yes.
And what's recently happened in the United States, for anybody that doesn't know and is not aware, there have been a lot of revival type meetings, a lot of people coming in and Jesus this and Jesus that. And there's been a lot of movies that have been released and getting ready to be released and all of these things. And some people would say, oh, well, those movies like The Chosen or Jesus Revolution, they just show a hippie like Jesus. Like, you know, it's all about love and it's all about, you know, freedom and all of that stuff. Well, I read the scriptures, and nowhere in there does it show me a Jesus that is out of balance.
Exactly.
And because he is a God of balance, because he is a God that knows exactly the end of the plan and knows exactly how it's all going to play out, he's going to guide us into all truth. It's what Scripture says, right?
Right. Holy Spirit. Yep.
Guide us into all truth. That's God, Holy mm-hmm. Spirit, right? Okay. So I'm thinking about all of that, and I'm thinking about this. Well, okay, so there's a truth about tithing, as you mm-hmm. mentioned. And the truth about tithing is tithing has nothing to do with the local church. Tithing has nothing to do with your relationship with me or vice versa. Tithing has nothing to do with God needing your money. Tithing has a concept that, can I learn as a person to give God the tithe? Tithe is a tenth of what you make. Can I learn to give God a tenth? Can I start with just a little bit? And can I trust him with that little bit? That he would make the 90% more than meet every need that I have. That is a concept and a blessing for each one of us. It has nothing to do about relationship between us. It has nothing to do about going to church or not. It has everything to do with the concept of learning to love Jesus with the little bit that he's asking for.
And responding to Jesus in love.
And responding, exactly. So here we're talking about all of our needs being met. And the scripture that we were talking about, and I think Eric was mentioning it maybe, or maybe I read it this morning about him who gives a little will get a little, but him who gives
a little. Oh, yeah, 2 Corinthians 9.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 2 Corinthians 9. He who gives a lot will receive back a lot. Well, that is a biblical concept. That's not a law that was written in the church. It's written in the Bible. So shoot the messenger if you want to. But it's a concept made for each one of us to learn. And if we can learn that, I'm going to tell you guys, I've applied the tenth to even things that are in my life. Like, can I give Jesus a tenth of my time? Can I give Jesus a tenth of my love even? I like to give a lot more than that, but I'm just saying we can list out a number of things that we can apply the tenth to. As a learning process for us with the Lord, has nothing to do with the local church or people in you know, with your pastors or anybody else.
Yeah, that's good. And the thing is again, let me qualify, so, because we have the scripture, Matthew 6:33, mm-hmm. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. We do need to make sure we're moving forward in God. Because the problem is when we're outside of his covering, by going and doing our own thing or just abandoning our faith or whatever it would be, we're not under that covering of blessing. We're not under that covering of those promises being fulfilled back into our lives. Now, you could go out there and, you know, reject God and start working. It looked like, oh, I'm still blessed. No problem. Everything in my life's perfect. I still got income and all that, you know, that whole Christian stuff and tithing stuff and following Jesus. It was all for naught. Well, that may be at this point in your life. What are you going to do when the storms of life come, when trials come, when you're at the end of yourself again? You're going to cry out to God. You're going to say, Lord?
Our life right now doesn't make any sense. Our life does not make sense on black and white paper. We should not be making what we're making. We should not be where we are. It just does not make any sense in the natural. It doesn't. Like, we travel back and forth to Tri-Cities. We have two places to live. We have food there. We have food here. We have utilities there. We have things here. I mean, it doesn't make any sense. But God. God makes all the sense. So he says to test him and try. And we have never been wanting, like that scripture that says about the seed begging for bread. We've had plenty of bread in our refrigerator. And it's because we've done what we know to do, biblically speaking. Are we wrong on some things? I'm sure we are. We just haven't figured it out yet. But hopefully I'm just saying that our life does not make sense right now. It doesn't make sense in the natural. It doesn't make sense in monetary ways is what I'm trying to say. It just doesn't make any sense. But it's because we love the Lord and we give to the Lord. And it just works.
And he takes care of us.
He does.
Yeah, I would say this. We'll end with this. When it talks about seek first the kingdom of God, we heard that basically means to put all your focus, all of your thoughts, keep your heart, you know, set on him, looking for him, looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, and seeking it. You know, in other words, pondering about God, you know, let this mind be that you was in Christ Jesus. Let the mind of Christ be in us. We have the mind of Christ. Also, set our mind on things above, you know, not on things of this earth. I find that hard to do sometimes because it's like, how do I set my mind on heaven, you know, where Christ is? But I let the Holy Spirit come in and guide me in that way. And his kingdom, you know, his kingdom, what he's interested in, what makes God tick, what are the things that are that he's passionate about, that he has a heart for, things that we know he's put on our mind and our lives to do. You know, we're his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works. What is the good works he's called us to? That's his kingdom. And his righteousness, which we learned about last week, and his true righteousness has been given to us. We don't stand in our own righteousness, we stand in him.
Right.
We stand in his righteousness. And when we do this, all things, everything is going to be added to us. Added. Mm-hmm. So when things are being added, what's it mean? It means it's accumulating. Mm-hmm. I believe that through my life, things have been accumulating to me, to God. Everything that's pertained to life and godliness has been growing in me and becoming, as I've appropriated with that card, saying, God, I'm going to use this now because I've gained this truth, Lord, that you said this in your word, so I'm going to start appropriating this in my life. I'm going to start letting this become flesh in me. I'm going to let this word become flesh in me that you've put in my heart. And as we do that, we become more like Jesus. I don't think God wants to just give us things just to make us happy. You know, to make us, I've got everything that I want, everything that I need. I've got it all. Just because, you know, it'd be like spoiling us. I don't know if any of you have been around spoiled children, but it's not a good thing.
He wasn't implying, Tanya.
Spoiled the Dutch.
She looked at him like,
No, that's not what I meant. You know what I'm saying? But because when they get to be adults, it can really be bad because they don't appreciate anything. They're not fun to be around. And so I believe God allows us to get what we need in our lives to be enough. And truly, what is the main thing that we need? We need him. If we get to the place where we just realize if God is enough, then anything else is just going to be a blessing. Anything else is going to be a bonus.
But doesn't he give us all that card, though? I mean, each one
we
of
all
us.
Have that.
We all have
unlimited
that unlimited
cards.
Card.
It's all been given to us. Exactly.
We all have it. And as we need it, we need to use it.
Exactly. I think the verse after this, verse 3, says, for we have been given these divine precious promises that through them we might attain or have his divine nature. So through his word, getting his word in us, we take on his divine nature, his divine character.
Yes.
And
I think if we can get to that place, we're definitely going to have all our needs met. Mm-hmm. Even if we don't think, even if someone looks at us and say, well, boy, they're sure in a sorry state. No, I'm full. I've got everything I ever needed. I've never been richer. Can that be possible? I believe it can, with the right heart and mindset. Does anyone else have anything to share here? Yep, Tim, come on up.
Thank you. Yeah, when you're talking about this, Mike, I'm reminded of, I don't know if anybody's seen the Book of Mysteries. He explains about the open jar in the river. Can a river contain, can this jar contain this whole river? And if you close the lid on it, it can't. But if you open it up and let it pour through, it will continually flow. And that's the truth with everything, like our time. If we pour out our love on others, that love just keeps coming. If we shut our door on that love, pretty soon everything, nobody sees it, and so it just dissipates. It's true with your money, true with everything. Time, money, what you name it.
Amen. That's good, brother. Yeah. Oh, come on. Someone else.
May as well hold it over there.
Let's keep it here.
Shocked.
Do you get shocked?
I get shocked all the time.
Oh, wow.
I'm electrifying. Right?
Okay.
Okay. So Tim and I were at a marriage enrichment last week.
Yeah.
And one of the things that they told us about successful marriages is building a mission statement. So we're entering into this relationship with Christ, with God. And so what is our mission statement that he has for us? And so me and Tim were talking about our mission statement as a married couple is God first.
Right.
Let him lead all our decisions and what we should do. Then family, you know, and because when you put him up there first, he takes care of all the rest. Mm-hmm. And then it comes back to him being first.
That's
and
good.
I was relating that when you were talking about when life doesn't make sense monetarily or spiritually, and you know that it's God that's filling it because you've made your mission statement. Your mission here is for him, but your statement is that he's going to be first before everything else that you mm-hmm. try to accomplish for him.
Amen. That's good. Anyone else? Okay. Thank you for being obedient.
This morning while we were worshiping, actually this whole week, there's a scripture that says, deep calls unto deep.
Mm-hmm.
My sense this morning from the Holy Spirit is that we can, the ones of us that have Holy Spirit living within us, we can go deeper or as deep as we want to.
Yeah.
We just have to be open to let him do the surgery to get there. There might be things that you have to let go of. There might be things that you're, I don't know, mad about. But that's part of it, to go deep in the Lord, because the reward is so great, the reward of relationship
Amen.
With him.
That's a good word.
And then the other thing I thought of as we were worshiping is, those of us, we have Holy Spirit living within us, but that fact is that when we worship, Holy Spirit, like the manifest presence, meets that. When we worship, what's within us already is met with extraordinary presence of the Lord over us, and as we worship and as we
same
worship
thing with tithing. I mean, yeah, okay.
That's good. So good. Amen. Anyone else? Praise the Lord. All right. Well, Father, we just are so grateful and thankful, Lord, for you meeting all of our needs. And Lord, that I know that's a big word and a big statement, and it's hard for all of us to wrap our hearts and our minds around that we already have everything in us that pertains to life and godliness, that we're not lacking anything, mm-hmm. that you have deposited through the Holy Spirit everything that we're ever going to need in life, Lord. So I pray right now that you just help our hearts and our minds, Lord, and a transformation to take place, Lord. It says that renewal of the mind that it talks about, not being conformed to the world, but being transformed, renewed, rejuvenated, metamorphosized, Lord, by the renewing of our minds, Lord. Let that truth sink in, Lord, that we have everything that we need, Lord, because you love us and because you're a good, good Father.
And because of that, Lord, our needs will be met. Maybe not all, every single want, not every single desire, Lord, but our needs will be met, Lord. And we thank you for that. We thank you, God, that you have already given us everything, Lord, that we need. And we just want to receive that by faith. We don't want to get to the end of our lives, Lord, and realize that we didn't appropriate, Lord, what you really truly had for us to appropriate. That we shorted not only you and us, but the kingdom, Lord, from the wealth, Lord, that you deposited in us. And so I just want to bless everyone right now, Lord, with just a fresh understanding, a fresh revelation, Lord, of who you are in them, of what you're doing in them, Lord, that you're working in them, Lord, for your good pleasure right now, that you're causing them, Lord, to be drawn closer to you, to know you more, Lord, to be transformed to who you are, into that divine nature. And we just ask this and believe this. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Praise the Lord.
Tonight,
6 p.m. downstairs.
Fun and games.
Fun and games. We're going to do fun and games, game night. All right? Bring a snack. And
Come competitive spirit.
Oh, competitive spirit.